You want to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 25. John, chapter 6, starting at verse number 25. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, but not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Again, last week we began a new series entitled I Am, and our journey will be one that explores the statements made by Jesus of himself throughout the Gospel of John. Namely, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the door or the gate. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I am the vine. I am represents an emphatic declaration of Jesus' identity, his character, and his mission. And last week, we began our exploration by discussing the root of I am, that I am phrase. It originates in the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament when Moses encountered God and asked who he, Moses, should tell the Israelites sent him. And there is where we first see I am, or in some translations, I will be. And I wanted us all to see how the name of the Lord existed in ancient communities. That's why I played the introduction video from the Bible Project. And if you want to go and check that video out, watch that video again. I provided the link over there in the notes section. There is a link to that video and other videos provided by the Bible Project, a wonderful ministry that have provided many of these informational videos. But more than the identification of the divine and personal name of God is this truth that steers the rest of these sermons. The Lord has made provisions to give us what we need. We will be what he will be what he needs to be for us. So Jesus, in making a declaration of himself in the Gospel of John that we looked at last week, he says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. And we are inundated with needs, and spiritual needs, and emotional needs, mental needs, physical needs. And Jesus is speaking directly to us and our needs. He will be what he needs to be. And so the invitation last week was to allow I am to fulfill your needs, your most deepest longings, desires, and needs. As we explore the I am statements, I pray that you will call out to Jesus to meet you where you are and to meet your deep longings and deep needs. I believe Jesus is waiting for us to ask him to meet us where we are and to fulfill our very needs, like our need to be fed and nourished. Jesus knows that need, and so he says of himself, I am the bread of life. Bread is good, y'all. I'm not much of an Olive Garden fan. I don't particularly like some of the taste or the aromas at Olive Garden. However, put a basket of Olive Garden breadsticks in front of me, and you might see something pretty amazing. You'll see me perform magic on these breadsticks, as a basket of five may turn into a basket of zero in less than 3 minutes, especially with a boat of Alfredo sauce. I will take these breadsticks, I will dip those breadsticks, and I will destroy those breadsticks, because bread is good, y'all. There is nothing like fresh baked bread right out of the oven. It's soft, it's aromatic, it's warm to the touch. It just melts in your mouth. You take a bite and you just want to just close your eyes and savor the moment. Because bread is good. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are wiping away drool right now. I recognize that in recent years, several have developed allergies to wheat and gluten, but the allergies have not stopped the desire or the craving for bread. Accordingly, you can get gluten-free options, but nevertheless, we love our bread. That's why years ago when they came out with these heresies, like the Atkins diet and South Beach diet that forbid us from eating bread if we wanted to lose weight, we lost our collective minds. It was always a sight to see when you go out to dinner with those who are on these diets, and as you are eating your dinner, they bring your dinner or appetizers with the bread, and to watch your dinner partners look across the table with tears in their eyes as you're eating the very thing that they want to devour. Oh, okay, enough about bread. Well, enough about the bread that we get in restaurants or bake in our homes. You see, since the beginning of time, bread has been a huge part of the human diet. In almost every culture, there is some form of bread that is present in that culture. In the scriptures, in the scriptures, from the very beginning, bread is both present as a physical item in many stories and as a spiritual metaphor or representation of something greater. Take, for instance, in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19. This is what the Creator said to Adam and Eve: by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. From the very beginning, there was an understanding that the ground would grow, I guess, wheat, whatever there needs to be grown and worked to make bread. There was, in the book of Genesis again, this mysterious priest by the name of Melchizedek, who met Abram, who would be later be called Abraham, and he blessed Abram, welcoming him with bread. In Genesis chapter 14, verse number 18, the text says, "And King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth. There was Israel wandering in the desert, and daily the Lord would bless them with bread from heaven. It was called manna, and it was a daily provision for God's people. Israel always kept bread in the tabernacle. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Eating bread is prominently featured in both the Jewish practice of Passover and the Christian practice of communion or Eucharist. Listen to how Paul uses bread as a metaphor of something deeper and significant regarding our life in the body of Christ. This from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Do you see how the Apostle Paul uses bread, talking about communion, talking about the Lord's Supper, and bread represents something much more significant and important for our lives together. And then there was this episode in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. Jesus and his disciples were hanging out on a mountainside, and Jesus saw a large crowd approaching, and Jesus asked one of his disciples, Philip, he says, "Where can we buy bread?" He wanted to buy bread for the crowd that was approaching. Philip said, well, listen, homie, it would take 6 months of wages to buy enough bread for this large crowd. Another disciple said, well, hey, here's a young boy here, and he has some food. He had five loaves of barley bread and two small fish. Now, don't be misled in thinking that this was a lot of food. I know five loaves of bread sounds like a lot. A barley loaf was a cheap bread that the poor ate. A barley loaf was small, and some say that three loaves of barley bread would actually be enough to feed one person. And some say that the fish that was represented here was a fish that probably looked more like a sardine, very small fish. Again, this was enough to serve one person. This was probably this young man's his lunch. But that's what he took. And then Jesus had the people that numbered nearly 5,000 people sat down on a grassy area. He took the bread and the fish from the young boy. He gave thanks, and they distributed the food. The text says everyone ate, and they ate as much as they wanted. And after they ate, miraculously, when they gathered all the leftovers, there were 12 baskets full, perhaps enough to serve the 12 apostles who, at the beginning of this episode, doubted that they could do anything for this crowd. There are a couple of takeaways I think that we should look at from this remarkable story. One, Jesus saw a need and was intent on meeting that need. Immediately, he sought a way to make a provision for a hungry crowd. He saw a crowd coming. It's the Passover time, the text says. And the first thing he does is looks to his compadres, his disciples, and says, how can we feed these folks? He saw a need, and he was intent on meeting that need. Another takeaway is this, that there is no need that is too big for Jesus to fill. You know, oftentimes we go to God, we go to Jesus, and we pray these prayers of caution, or we pray these prayers of you know, we hesitate because, you know, God, you've got so much on your plate. You've got so many things to do. You have so many people to look after. I'm bringing you my need, but you got other. Listen, there is nothing that is too big for God. There is no need that is too big. There is no need that is too insignificant. There is no need that our God cannot meet. Here's maybe another takeaway. Don't be surprised when Jesus uses what is on hand to be a blessing. You see, in this story, he used small pieces of bread and small fish to bless a crowd of 5,000. Don't be surprised when he uses a small church for a big impact. Don't be surprised when he uses a little old me or little old you for big impact. Don't be surprised when he uses the person that doesn't possess all the big flashy gifts to make a maximum impact on the world. Yes, Jesus saw a need, he met it. Jesus, there is no need that is too big for Jesus. And often, Jesus will use exactly what is on hand to fulfill a need. Don't be surprised how Jesus is a miracle worker and a wonder worker with little things. It was out of that context, that wonderful story, that Jesus makes some extremely profound statements about himself. And as you continue to read through John chapter 6, it was the next day, if you drop down in the story to verse number 25, where I read from this morning. And many who had eaten the bread the day before had returned. It was the next day. And probably they came because they wanted more bread. They're like me with those breadsticks from Olive Garden. They probably came for more bread, and more bread is what they received. It was during that gathering the next day that Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The bread of life, with all that we know about the significance of bread physically and spiritually, Jesus makes a statement that should touch our hearts, speak to our souls, and encourage our spirits. That Jesus is the bread of life is to say that he will wholeheartedly fulfill your deepest needs. That Jesus is the bread of life is a promise that those who are nourished by Jesus will never go hungry and never go thirsty. That Jesus is the bread of life is for us an opportunity to be nourished and nurtured by a life-giving, soul-stirring, soul-saving bread. This bread is available for all palates and all tastes, even the picky eaters. That Jesus is the bread of life means that for those who have sought other needs and wants and haven't found their full on other things in life, this bread will be satisfying. You see, we think we want or need more money only to get more money, and it's not enough. We think we want or need power only to get it, and it's not enough power. We think we want or need acceptance only to get it, but not from the right people. We think we want or need control only to get it and realize we are doing more harm than good with our control. We think we want or need a bigger house only to get it and complain how hard it is to clean a bigger house. That Jesus is the bread of life is to say that if we make Jesus the true fulfillment of our need, we will hardly thirst for power or money or comfort or control. That Jesus is the bread of life means that he will meet our most basic and most complex needs. The sad truth is this, that for many, Jesus is just not enough. For the original crowds that heard Jesus speak this truth, it was a hard teaching, and many of them stopped following Jesus. They turned around, they left. Jesus spoke deeply and intimately about the disciples about the need to eat the bread of life. And there were some there that understood this to be some form of cannibalism or some other idolatry or something. And for some, it was just a hard teaching. So the text says, if you drop down to chapter 6 and verse number 66, it says, because of this, many of the disciples, these were people who were actually followers of Jesus. It says, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Church, we have been invited to partake of this bread of life. The bread of life you had, the bread of life that had just fed 5,000 folks and is ready to feed our hungry souls. He is the Holy One of God, says Simon Peter, one of his 12. If we don't follow and partake of this bread of life, according to Simon Peter, and according to many of us who have experienced the bread of life, there are no other options, no other place to go. So it's simple this morning in terms of the choice or the question or the invitation. What will we choose to do? Will we turn our backs on the bread of life, the bread of heaven, or will we follow and partake of this life? We are invited, and God waits. What needs do you have for the bread of life? Let's use this moment right now, to pray to God for our needs and pray that the bread of life will meet us. Let us cry out our need for him, to see our need and to meet our need in his own unique way. As he saw the crowds approaching and saw the need to feed them bread, fish, may he see us coming near to him, seeing our need for real love, for real relationship, for transformation, for forgiveness, for grace. Here, the offer from Christ is to give you something better than a miracle, something better than the right answer, something better than a solution, something better than clarity, something better than a worship service in this building. His offer is to give you something better than a new job, better than a new house. His offer is to give you something better than a brand new car. His offer is to give you himself. So come and partake of this bread of life. I want to offer us a moment of silent reflection and prayer. I want you to pray for the bread of life to meet your need today. At home, Wherever you're gathered, we're just going to have a time of just silence as we reflect on Jesus as the bread of life. Pray to him right now to meet you where you are and to meet your need. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the bread of life, intent on giving us a heavenly nourishment that will fulfill all needs. God, we pray right now, as many have just spoken out and prayed to you about their needs. They've prayed to you where they're at, and for some, it's not a good place. For some, it is a good place, but still they're lacking. And still they have deep desires. And still they have deep longings. God, I pray right now that you would be their manna. God, that you would bless them with the manna that you provided long ago. That you would bless them, bless us with the bread of life. God, whatever we need, you saw the need before we even brought it to you. Thank you for meeting us there. Thanking you for making provisions with what's available. And thank you for meeting it in such a way that you say that there is no need that is too big. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we'll sing a song of our deep desire for God's presence in our life. Lord, we need you. And as a church, we are always here for you. And if there is something that we can do for you, provide for you, serve you, please let us know. There's a comment or a prayer button there that you can press and share your prayer needs, whatever you might need from us, let us know.